Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everyone, to another Sunday night, another edition of An Emerging Forest on Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And this is a live call-in program. The number to call in is 646-564-9714. And to sort of set the stage for this tonight's program, my good friend Dave Miller organized a festival recently on the 1st through the 3rd of June called Touch Mother Earth. And he had such a interest in having a next event, he went ahead and organized a next event. And so I'd like to bring Dave and his friend Donna on the program now. Welcome to the program, Dave.
Welcome
to the program. Welcome to the program, Donna.
Welcome.
So, Dave, why don't you set the stage for what your next event is and how it evolves or is from Touch Mother Earth.
Well, thank you. This was our third year having this festival, and we found out that people don't want to wait a whole year, and the testimonials and feedback we got from people is, can we do it again and do it sooner? And it does take a lot of planning, so what we did is we pared it down, and we created a modified version at a different location. It's actually at a really wonderful farm with 27 acres. And rather than making it this large vibrating circus with all these things going on, we're treating it more like a retreat where people can come. Everything is planned out. There's one event at a time. All the meals are included so that we build community, and everybody will be able to share at the meals. We'll have what we call a talking stick, which will get passed around, because we really want everybody's input. Everybody is valid, just like your radio show opens up. All points are valid, and we want to be able to hear what's going on in people's minds. There's, you know, we're sort of at precarious times. People feel a lot more edgy than they did maybe 8 years ago. And I'd like to be able to have this as not just as a working smaller festival, but actually as something that we could maybe do on a much more regular basis. Maybe we should do something every 3 months and get together and see, check in with each other. How are we doing? How are we feeling? How's life? what are we doing to create and take responsibility? And so it's going to be on the 24th, 25th, and 26th of August, which is 1 week before Labor Day. The farm is called Hope Hill Farm, and we have created an event right now. It's just on Facebook, Touch Mother Earth at Hope Hill Farm. It will be up on the website soon. We just finished all the planning, and in a real nutshell, we're going to have an opening ceremony on Friday. A wonderful gentleman, Coco Pelli, who has performed and been at Hope Hill Farm in the past, will be leading us in ceremony, and then he is a wonderful singer-songwriter, so he will be performing for us as well. And then we're going to turn it into an open jam session. So for you musicians out there, bring your guitar, bring your bass, bring your fiddle, bring whatever, your flute, any instrument. And then eventually it'll turn over into a nightly drum circle. And I'm very excited about that. Saturday morning, we're going to start off with group yoga. Friend Nikki, who was very successful with her program at Touch Mother Earth, is returning. And then at 11, we'll have our first meal planned, which will be a brunch. It'll be veggie and vegan, comfortable. And we'll do this talking stick, and we'll have, we're allowing a full 2 hours, people to really get to know one another. And then we go off into our first major program. In the afternoon, we're going to do a plant walk, a medicinal plant walk. Jim Fury is an American herbalist. He just opened up an apothecary. He was on our show prior. And I'm very excited to have him join us. And then we're moving into another realm. 3 o'clock. Oh boy, I don't have the thing, but I have it right in front of me. Give me 1 second here to pull it out. There we go. All right. Then at I gotta scroll down here. Sorry, I've got.
So basically, Dave, you kind of had multiple programs going on at the same time at Touch Mother Earth. You could go to workshops. You could talk to vendors, or you could go see a music program. Are you going to be having the same density of events going on at Hope Hill Farm?
Nope. It's only one at a time. And we're
okay.
Mixing it up.
So basically, you're going to have a set of events, and you've published the schedule of these events. Could you tell us where the schedule of those events are?
Right now it is on the Facebook event page, which again is Touch Mother Earth at Hope Hill Farm, and then eventually it's going to be on touchmothereearth.com. We literally just finished the schedule this morning. But just real quickly, Michelle Kenya is returning. She represents a group called The Journey, which helps you find yourself space. We then have our next communal meal. Tabitha Booth is going to kick off our music at night. So there's no music during the day on Saturday. And then Barry Holmes, who was at the first two Touch Mother Earth festivals, will be returning. He is blues R&B, and he has paired together with this awesome singer, Kantara Nava, who I would compare her with somebody like Sade. She just melts your heart. Really beautiful music. And they just did a post-fundraiser for Touch Mother Earth. So that's Saturday. It's real simple, one thing at a time. And then Sunday, we're going to open up with a walk and talk with Akinyele Karade. He originally was our ceremony opener on Friday at Touch Mother Earth. Again, another communal breakfast at 11. And then we're going to have one set of music, the only music for Sunday, a group called Spirit Live. Amala, Ren Porter, Claudia Reeves, Jim Dab, and others will be doing live music, which will encourage body movement and dance. Really cool. I've been wanting to have them, and this is the perfect opportunity. And then Olga Chachina is going to be coming on, and we're going to actually be building things with wood and hand tools. And then we close it out, communal meal, and a closing with Agnelli. And it's, again, it's real simple, even geared more for the community just to participate, go from A to B to C. And if you want to opt out, if you just want to walk the land, you can do that on your own.
Beautiful. Okay, so in the interim, Marie is joining us, and I'll bring Marie onto the show. Hi, Marie, how are you?
Hi.
So,
hey, Marie.
Can you hear me?
Which Marie is this?
Mary.
Oh, Mary. Hey,
Mary.
Good.
This is Mary Pierce.
That's what threw me off.
Oh, okay.
Now, Mary was at the last two Touch Mother Earths, and you want to tell the story of how things shifted from the first year to you meeting Max and what happened the second year?
Sure. So I went to Touch Mother Earth 2 years ago, and I went by myself. After, if I'm correct, I probably met you at Barnaby's or something to do with that group, I think, Dave.
Yep.
I can't remember.
Yep.
And
you shared the
event with me. I kind of had an experience with that group of people that was like, for me.
Mary, we're having some audio difficulty.
Oh, I apologize.
You're what?
Hold on. Let me see if I got a good signal. I am up in the mountains.
Beautiful.
So while we're waiting for Mary to come through, Mary...
I mean, basically, it sounds like she was on speakerphone or something like that.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Dave. Oh.
Mary offered how to distill and make your own essential oils. So the first year, she had harvested lavender and ran it through a distillation machine, and we slowly could watch it actually collect the oils. And then what ended up happening was she was next to a gentleman who is studying glass blowing. And in their getting to talk to one another, he said, I will help you create your next distillation machine. And he said, I can take the glass and create the coils and anything you need. And so he started with a prototype. And then after the prototype went through, he went on and built her a full-fledged machine. And then on top of that, he came this year and did glass blowing as a demonstration. So that is part of that community energy. Here are some people who have never met, spend the whole next year working together to plan for the following festival and co-creating something that was more brilliant than either of us would have ever thought of. Well, I'm really proud. Hopefully Mary will be able to come back when she gets a better signal, but Mary was very instrumental in, she did a live demo, but she was teaching from her site so people could come and ask questions. Mary, you're back.
No, Mary is not back.
Okay. While we're waiting for Mary, since we have Donna on the line, Donna, this was your first year. I mean, Dini, sorry. This was your first year at the festival. What was your takeaway experience of community?
Well, I really liked that. I really saw it from a volunteer perspective, not so much from a participant perspective. And what I really liked is that the volunteers band together and helped where needed without really much conversation. It was just like, let's do this together.
So you felt there was some organic telepathy?
Absolutely.
Now, you did get to work with some people who were there from the year before, so at least they had some of the experience. Did they train you at all, or how did it work that it was that organic?
So, actually, this was my second year. I helped kind of very loosely the first year and kind of worked the, what is it, like the front desk or whatever you would call it, like to let people in the festival. Mm-hmm. So I knew some of the people. I've done a few festivals on my own in registration before, so you kind of get to know the flow. And people are more than willing to say, hey, listen, this is what we're doing. But I wouldn't say there's a whole lot of training, and that just might be that people get a sense that you know what you're doing, and then you just have a conversation. Okay, is this what we're going to do? Okay, great, wonderful. Let's get to it.
Very good. So Mary is back.
Oh, Mary's back. Cool.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Can.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
Not
I don't want to interrupt. I know I was incognito there for a bit.
So while you were finding your signal, we kind of explained how you met Max, and then over the course of the year, he helped you to actually create a new distillation system. What was that experience like working with him?
Okay, so meeting Max was really profound, in my opinion. I had spent the whole 6 months up to that point building my own distillation unit out of a modified pressure cooker, but I wanted a glass unit, and when I pursued this Clevenger piece, it was going to cost $900 just for this one piece. And I was going to have to special order it. It's not like it was something that they inventoried. They made special order for someone just distilling essential oils. And I, Be Pure, I really wanted the entire system to be transparent because I'm educating people. And but I'm a single parent. $900 for one fragile piece is not realistic. So I built the stainless steel unit, and I made the decision to go to Touch Mother Earth by myself, not knowing anyone other than I had met Dave and maybe one or two other people, and I just, not something I would have normally done, and I just did it. And I had my system set up, and I was serendipitously placed next to the tent for Gaia's gift, and Ellen was there with her husband, her son Max, and her daughter Sam, who was a massage therapist. I'm also a massage therapist now, but at the time I was in school. I was not a licensed therapist yet. And Max kept coming over, checking out my system, and I was explaining to him what I was doing. He just seemed very enamored with what I'm doing, and I showed him the one piece of glass, which was my volatile oil trap, that I paid for, and it was $50, and I was like, oh, my God, I paid $50 for this fancy schmancy piece of glass. And he takes a look at it, and he says, well, what's wrong with it? And I said, well, I needed this thing, and I show him the picture from another video of what I needed. And I showed him the logo and the company and how I called them, and it cost $900. And very matter-of-factly, he says to me, I can make you one of those. And I thought he was I thought he was, like, you know, BSing me. Like, I thought he was just poking fun because I just told him a story about how kind of untouchable it was as far as the price. He's like, no, seriously, I'm going to sell for scientific glass blowing. Because we know how common that is and what a sought-after major, and what are the odds that of all the places I could be on the planet, I'm going to be in this place with a pure heart endeavoring to educate people on a system that I'm ill-equipped, really. And here's this young man saying, oh, yeah, I could do that. for you. I could do it in school. I could do it for free or for the cost of the materials. I'll do it for a project, then, you know, kill two birds with one stone. And I'm like, dude, are you for real? Are you kidding me? He's like, no, really, I'm serious. I go to such and such a school. And so for the rest of the weekend, like every free moment we got, we were discussing science in class and why it needed to be one way or the other. And then we maintained a connection. I became good friends with his mom. I teach classes now at Gaia's Gift. Max and I are good friends, and we spent the whole year staying in touch, doing drawings. We communicated over Facebook and over text, sent back and forth a series of drawings, and what it culminated in was at Touch Mother Earth this year, I had two completely, entirely glass systems, one for steam distillation of essential oils and the other a sock slip alcohol extractor, extraction unit for making tinctures. So I was able to tincture lavender as well as distill it into the essential oil on site and educate people to the process and then let them experience the oils and gave out inhalers of the oils and gave let people sample droppers full of the alcohol-based lavender tincture that we made. And it
so
was,
what we're seeing
incredible.
Here, what we're seeing here is how we have a community supporting one another, building something together that is not something you would go kick off a shelf. And how was it for you with people walking by and they were curious and asking how things were done?
At the event?
Yeah, because basically you had an ongoing system over the weekend, so it wasn't like people could come by and in 5 minutes you had an opportunity to meet with them.
Yeah, so for the good bit of the event, once the system gets started, it takes several hours to steam distill something. So people would come over and I would have conversations with them about the process. And since it was glass, I could show them. What it really was is a catalyst into conversations about far more important things, like issues of spirituality, issues of balance, issues of, I don't know, global consciousness, and, you know, how we could collectively be part of the solution versus part of the problem on various issues. It became an opportunity to minister to people kind of where they are in terms of a mind, body, spirit, because I was talking about the science and the safety and the efficacy of essential oils in physical healing, but you almost can't talk about that without talking about the emotional and spiritual nature as well. And what it did for me personally is it allowed me to really connect with people on a very personal level in a way where, you know, if I was in the corporate world and we were selling something, it would be this mad pursuit of their information, you know, get an email address or a phone number or something, permission for you to quote-unquote market something to them later. But these connections are so profound that none of that matters. And these connections are permanent, and we find each other in the outside world after the fact.
So what you're saying is you stay in touch.
Oh, yes. But I connected with and still in touch with people that I've met through Touch Mother Earth now, more people than I ever would have if I was sitting there with a mailing list trying to get people to put their names on it. People remember talking to me and found me on Facebook, and I remember talking to some of them and found them on Facebook, and we're having dialogue and conversations about, you know, these holistic, earth-based efforts that matter to the collective group.
So what we're doing is we're gathering community. We are healing people as well. We're offering a way to find a path to healing.
I'd like to bring Jenny Carrington onto the show.
Oh, Jenny made it. Good. So let me introduce Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Dave.
Now, Jenny is somebody I met, PermaJam, which is another community-based annual event. And Jenny and I had a chance to friend and keep an ongoing dialogue. And this year, she decided to come and volunteer our festival, as I have gone and done for theirs. And what was your experience this year? It was your first time.
This is my first time at Touch Mother Earth. And I knew that it would be an extremely positive experience for me. I mean, immediately upon arriving, first of all, Dave, you really worked so hard on this event, so I'm sure other people already gave you a big thank you. But, you know, huge, huge thank you for organizing and coordinating these things so that we can build the foundation for all this healing and connection to take place. So thank you very much. You know, I've always actually, before a couple years ago, I used to shy away from these sort of deep spiritual gatherings, even though I felt a calling to them. I was a little nervous, you know, coming from the entertainment industry, coming from a place where media and marketing is everything. And my experience this year at Touch Mother Earth was transformative. And I like the intimacy of the gathering. And I think that that's something, you know, Touch Mother Earth and PermaJam both share, is that rather than sort of being an event, we really create this intimate space where people are free to be completely themselves. And that's where authenticity is magnetic. So we start attracting each other, and it's almost like you meet the people that you need to meet at the time you need to meet them. And it's a little magical. Dancing around the fire was really experience for me. I didn't end up joining the Sweat Lodge, but the drumming is something that I think is very special that takes place at both PermaJam and Touch Mother Earth as well.
Well, thank you. It's definitely one form of community. Now, you also do things. You are bringing together various organizations. 501, you want to share some of what you do?
Sure. Well, I have sort of a big vision for creating a peer learning network between community-based farms where holistic health education is the centerpiece, and then we build out around that. We build out using events. We build out using different forms of permaculture design for housing. We build out and branch out to the hiking communities with a hiker hostel. So we're essentially hoping to create a model and pilot a model of sustainable community living, and then sort of be able to offer communities up and down the East Coast or all over the country or all over the world a menu of what types of infrastructure and permaculture design is necessary to start building out, and then ultimately to have these networks where people can sort of, almost like you park hop at Disney, you can, my vision is that you can kind of, you know, farm hop and experience a sort of individual character at each community, but a common thread of holistic wellness and spiritual connection.
So you've been successful with that, and I want to thank you. You've reached out to me. You've worked with John Lee, and I know you're working with other festival or other farms.
Also work with Unifier Festival up in Massachusetts. We have worked with Mayfest, which is music, art, and yoga in New York, and we have we're learning from a leader in the permaculture field down in Costa Rica who's 12 years into their community design. So we're pulling a lot of lessons from them and bringing them up to our communities up in the Northeast.
So you
okay, everyone? I have to, wait a minute. Hold on. I need to be a jerk. Hi, everyone. We're going to break. This is a great song by Dave the Bard, Howl and Toe. We have to break.
Take no scorn to wear the horn. Was the crest when you were born? Father wore it, and your father wore it too. Howl and Toe, Johnny Rumbelow. We were up long before the day old to welcome in the summertime, welcome in the May old. The summer is a coming in, and winter's gone away. Robin Hood and Little John. Feather goose, we shall eat the roast. Oh, Howl and Toe, Johnny Rumbelow. We were up long before the day old to welcome in the summertime, welcome in the May old. For summer is a coming in and winter's gone away.
International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Hi, Dave. During the break, your good friend Olga has joined us And since I know that she needs to move on really quickly, we're going to bring her on and have a little segment with her. So go ahead and introduce her, and let's move on with her segment.
So Olga is one of these people who likes to work in community. It could be with kids or it could be with adults. And we brought her on this year. And Olga, why don't you just jump right in and explain what Kids Built's about and then explain how it worked out for you at the festival this year.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. So it was such a pleasure being part of the community. I have to say, Dave, this is an amazing event, and I see amazing potential for growth for this event. So what we do, I run a company called Kid Built. We work with kids and adults, promoting sort of handmade, hand tools, made things, practical things that are made out of wood. So we build, we teach kids how, empowering them using the tools and building real projects that could be useful in their, communities or in their homes and so on. So just kind of like empowering kids by taking the tools, using them, building, things that they can actually use to improve their communities. So what we did at Touch Mother Earth is we took a bunch of sort of reclaimed pieces of wood. Some of it was donated by Dave and your friend, and built planter boxes with the kids and adults. So a lot of the adults jumped in and really wanted to build their own planters, and there was a lot of plants donated that they, planted at the event, and it was just an amazing experience.
Seeing those kids and the big kids, of course, walking around with those boxes, and we had flowers and herbs, and that was an amazing scene, because they went from zero to a completed project and something they can take home, and you may have inspired them to garden as well as to not be afraid to work with tools.
I think so. I think I saw a lot of that, and actually a lot of the adults, or the parents would come and just like say, oh, we're bringing the kids, okay, this is a kids' workshop, and then they would get into it so much and just, oh, can I use the tools? Oh, my God, can I make something? And it's really, I feel like it's something that's forgotten, because a lot of us as adults even, we always ask the professionals to do something, around the house, or, we're always like afraid to sort of do it ourselves, or if something breaks, we throw it out. If a chair is broken, we just throw it out and get a new one. But what I'm trying, I think the vision of what I do is, take that power back and fix your things and make them last, and take things that break and build something else out of them, and just don't create more trash, don't dispose of things that could be reused, repurposed, and made into something beautiful.
What inspired you? Because I was a carpenter for 20 some years, and then obviously it's a traditionally a male field. What got you into that? Because that's very admirable.
So I think I grew up with a very strong mom. And also my dad is a woodworker. But I think my mom was kind of like a role model for, sort of breaking the gender stereotypes with, she would be, I saw her like, fixing her, like our family car when I was a child. And it was like, I'm not afraid to take a wrench and, see what's going on in the car and, like that kind of stuff. She wouldn't run to my dad and ask him to fix it because he's the man. But it was always, so these gender stereotypes is something that I really feel passionate about. So that was kind of the inspiration, is that, the kids need to see, people working with their hands especially women working with their hands, building stuff, not being afraid to put a nail in the wall or, you know, fix a chair or, you know, build a planter or something like that. It's you know, it should be something that we all see as a normal part of our lives.
Now, have you decided what we're going to be doing in August? Have we figured out a game plan for what we're going to build?
So I'm still thinking, you kind of put me on the spot here, but I'm still thinking what would be. I do have a lot of projects in mind. I mean, some of them are more useful and there are things that are kind of, you know, that there are some ideas that could be a little bit more sort of, artistic, I guess.
Something I would consider working with you, because first of all, you talked about breaking gender stereotypes, and also people have forgotten about the simplicity of being able to repair something themselves. Maybe we can show people how to spackle a sheetrock and build a wall and put in an electric outlet and some copper plumbing. I mean, you know, there's no limit.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that. Yeah, I love that. Those ideas I love, because I think also, my whole vision for what I do is to really show, you know, kids from childhood that this is not something that you should be afraid of, you know, ever doing on your own, or figuring out, maybe watching a YouTube video and like really figuring out how to do it on your own, as opposed to just running, you know, to a professional or somebody, you know, who knows how to do it better.
Well, you bring community together in a very special way, and I want to really thank you for taking a chance with the festival, and now it inspired you to continue. And
absolutely.
You know, we've worked together with things with Olga Scher, what she does with Antinanco Earth Art School, is thinking outside the box.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, Olga, what have you got planned? Where are you going next? What projects are in line for you?
Well, what I do with Kid Built, every summer we run a summer camp for kids in Jersey City. So it's a very urban environment, as you can imagine. What my sort of long-term vision is to really, you know, expose urban kids to, you know, not only the hand tools and the empowering them to build and to make things on their own and to be able to, like, you know, sort of create useful things, but also being outside and being in nature as much as they can and using things that they can repurpose and so on. So we do a lot of, you know, the summer camp that I run is sort of like a forest school kind of an environment. So they spend a lot of time in the local parks and anywhere that we can find nature, but really like spending the whole day there and just kind of weathering, you know, what comes.
Wow.
So you're what's next in your, I mean, I hear you're taking a trip. What is involved with that? Where are you going?
I'm not sure what you.
No, he was thinking about Olga Scher with where her brain.
Oh, okay. Am I? I'm confused.
No, not.
Oh,
story.
Sorry. No, too many words.
So, do we have anybody else on the line? Jenny is still there.
Yes, I'll bring everybody back in. So now the full cast is here.
So, guys, what do you think is our goal? Because we may not have Mount Eden next year, yet we are going to have this new farm. And one of the thoughts, if this new farm works out, it would be moving the festival to August instead of the first week in June, which for me would kind of be a blessing because I never get to grow my garden anymore. I've been planting stuff late. I would really consider this could be a new start.
I think I really resonated with some of your earlier words regarding people communicating that once a year isn't enough. You know, we make all these great connections, things start happening, but we go home, and after a month, I don't know about everybody else, but I start feeling very disconnected, like I need my people.
Mm-hmm. So you went through a remorse period as well.
So what I'm drawing from this is if you have some place that happens to work out like Hope Hill Farm, and they start, then they say, hey, that was really positive. We'd like to have you back every quarter, show how the community grows every quarter. And they start saying, hey, you know, this is actually working out for us. We'd like to make a deal with you where you have more of a permanent presence here so that at some point Touch Mother Earth is at Hope Hill Farm or wherever it goes, and it just doesn't stop. I mean, people can say, hey, we're out in the world, but we're going to reconnect with our community, or they can actually migrate and become part of the community, so it's something that becomes permanent.
Thank you, Alan, because while we have Facebook presence with Touch Mother Earth Community News, and I include Touch Mother Earth Community events where other people can post their events, I think that as we've been growing and meeting and sharing, and we connect with each other beyond the events, but we really do sense a lack of a real community. Like, everybody lives off of Facebook, which is an artificial community. Not that it's bad. I mean, we gather and talk and all these things and plan and protest and everything. But to be able to have, like, say, a monthly meeting where you continue the talk, you continue the vibration, you don't just wait for another year for something positive to happen. And we really have, I am actually going to put a little blame into Facebook. I'm going to ask the audience here if they agree. But I think because so much of what we've been doing is connecting not face-to-face, that we've actually lost some of the human contact where we raise a barn together, where we do these events together. And does that resonate with anybody else out there?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I was just about to say that sounds like an amazing plan because, you know, and also like maybe involving the community, you know, through the Facebook, you know, to do things together, for example, like cleaning up, you know, like a national, like a not a national park, but like a, you know, state park or something, like some kind of like themed events maybe that would unite the community, but also do something that's, you know, helpful in any way.
The opportunity to come together and make some type of contribution to our community, like Olga was mm-hmm. talking about, but also coming together to renew each other. I mean, a lot of us are out there in the world doing holistic things, like in my case, I do massage therapy and other modalities, people who, like Dave with drumming and musical endeavors, even people who are food vendors and are out there in the world ministering to people, for like this home-based opportunity to come together and minister to each other, to renew each other, to encourage each other that we're on the right path and to continue with the momentum that we have individually, but also that we tend to get when we get together. We're like, this last Touch Mother Earth, man, we were on fire. We had a group mm-hmm. of the most powerful, like-minded people I have ever seen, and it just was amazing. The energy was just palpable all weekend long.
I agree.
Thank you, Mary.
What I would say,
and
what I took from...
Healer...
Sorry. Yeah, what I took from John Lee Rooker is that John Lee is actually in touch with multiple sites across the United States and actually around the world that are asking for healing of a small acreage, you know, a small farm that actually wants to host a healing. So in our area, in our northern New Jersey, in the East Coast area, we have like one site that could host some people, maybe semi-permanently, and that would be the community site. But we would be growing globally with all of these other opportunities that John Lee has his fingers in. And this, I mean, not that we don't want to use technology, pardon me, because we could use technology to connect all of these little villages.
Absolutely.
And grow it. Hey, you can meet face to face, but we also want to, there's also more people who want in on this than just in our area. And so we want to, hey, we've got this this energy at Touch Mother Earth, and we want to broadcast it. So it's a really good, I mean, documentation is a really good thing. Having talks like this that are recorded and put on global and put to global access is really important. So all of these things that we're doing are very far-reaching.
Alan, you bring people together, and I love your radio program because this is what it's about. We're having a talking stick right now, and we're showing that people have a voice, they have a choice, and we can motivate one another, because I have found that everybody I've worked with, Olga, Mary, all the others, have only made me want to do this even more, not less. And I suppose you both feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think it's pretty miraculous, actually, how much of a co-creation this is, because I know a couple years ago I felt like I was walking alone, and then that's the other thing that Touch Mother Earth and some of these gatherings does is you realize you're not alone, and then you're like, oh, you know, you have the same idea that I have. We're all doing this together. We're all bringing this a small piece of this sort of puzzle that is turning into a global movement. And when we talk about global consciousness, we can get caught up in the jargon a little bit, but really, you know, it is all about everyone carrying, you know, their weight and playing their part and playing their role. And it's really pretty beautiful to hear all these voices, even just on the show, with pretty much the same concept of how this is going to unfold.
That was part of the real magic at Touch Mother Earth this year, to be in these different, say, sharing circles or workshops or whatever, and hearing people share their dreams, and then you stop and go, wait a minute. That's my dream. No, literally, I've been writing about this for 10 years. How did you know that this was in my heart? And then that happened all weekend long with a group of, like, I don't know, this common thread of these 20 people. And then by the end of the weekend, it was just like we're all just clapping our hands and telling each other, yeah, what she said, what he said, yeah. And then we go home, and now what? Like we are all like on fire. We want to keep it going. We want to keep doing something, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. We just want to know what's the next bite. Like, we're ready. Let's do it.
Well the next small bite is Permajam. Coming up this weekend. Not this weekend. Next weekend. Yeah.
Next weekend. I'll be at Permajam.
12 through 15.
Mary, you're going to Permajam?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'll be there with my drums. Oh, awesome. And that's, you know what, this goes back to something that goes to the first year of Touch Mother Earth, because John Lee and I connected and we immediately bonded, and 10 of us went from Touch Mother Earth to Ricky Farm. And then the next year, people from Pearl Jam came down to Touch Mother Earth. And it's not about a competition, it's about a growth. We do need to connect all these global communities, whether it be an event, a living situation, a farm, availability, knowledge. We are now creating this underground, I don't even want to call it underground, a positive structure. We're the mycelium of the earth. There you go. We're building up. And it blows me away because this cooperative sharing has brought us to this high level. And it doesn't mean that we have to say goodbye after an event. We, with technology, we can embrace technology and say, okay, we can keep in touch on Facebook. You know, some people don't like Facebook, but to me, it is a wonderful social media. I don't have negative people in my life. So I connect with, every day I might connect with 20 to 50 people, and they always uplift me, and I adore that. We are the co-creators of what we want to do. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
You know, and you can't discredit, we talk about global consciousness, and we talk about our connection to each other, our connection to the earth, and the energy that we put out there. Even people that we connect with through technology who maybe don't have the means to come to our events, maybe they live really far away, but they are still with us, and they are still supporting us with their positive thoughts, their prayers, their energy, and that is, like, insanely powerful. That is part of this bigger picture of what we're talking about. We're talking about the pebble that each one of us drops into the water and the ripple effect that it has. And if I'm a shut-in in Wisconsin that somehow has found Touch Mother Earth and my heart resonates with what you're doing, I have just as much power to contribute with my heart and soul from Wisconsin than anybody does sitting right there at the event. So,
ooh, that's potent. That's very potent.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that there is something about the way we are, like, I don't want to use the word marketing, but something about the way that we're documenting. The documentation of history is so powerful. And what she was talking about people being able to send their energy and be involved through social media, just like money, just like anything, is just a tool. And I think Olga was talking about teaching kids to use tools. And actually what research shows us just really quickly is that social media is really great for informational support. It's not so great for emotional support. So if we start to kind of figure out how to use social media to do the planning, to do the detail work of these sort of events, and then we gather and do the real deep emotional work, that's a positive way to find a balance between, you know, the digital world and the face-to-face world.
Yeah, the organization basically gets you in the door, and the person who's there to teach basically says, all you have to do is get, you know, your job or the job of the organizer or the job of the promoter is to get everybody on the other side, to get everybody inside the vehicle, and then it's the job of the people who are there to make the changes, or it's actually the co-creation of all the people who have gathered to basically say, this is what we want, where are we going next? So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to, as Dave so poignantly put out there, is I'd like to pass the talking stick around to the three people I haven't met before, and then I'll pass it to Dave. Donna, would you say a few words about yourself, and if you want to, give any contact information?
This is Donna Erickson. I can be reached at donnaerickson68@gmail.com. I left my corporate job about 2.5 years ago at the call of my intuition to do what I love, and I've been following that trail in every decision, everything that I have done has been about what I love and what I've been looking for, discovering is, so funny enough, what we're talking about tonight is finding community. So I have, for the last almost 3 years, has been traveling to different communities in the United States and in Costa Rica, getting a sense of how they are run, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and to bring that back into my consciousness to get a better sense of where I'm going with, whether it's an event or, I mean, my ultimate goal is to be a director for a retreat center. So, you know, I've been plugging along, making sure that that's still viable and what that's actually going to look like. And so I love the idea of bringing community always together, and the idea of having these small pods around the United States. And as we create these small pods, we bring them into a center pod, and it's an amazing vortex of energy that's going to be just so cool.
Right. So, Mary Pierce, will you tell us about yourself and give contact info?
Sure, thank you. So, my name is Mary Pierce, and I manage a page on Facebook called Mary's Comfy Kitchen Garden and Studio. I have developed over the last 20 years a very broad skill set that I often wondered, like why. It's so atypical of a head of household. And as time passes and as I become more and more enmeshed in this community, I'm beginning to see why. I'm a licensed massage therapist now, but I have undergraduate degrees in fine art, photography, writing, computer and internet programming. And everything I do to pay my bills now is as an independent contractor. And when the time comes, and I believe it's probably going to come sooner than later, I live a lifestyle where I could pick up and go anytime I want. I don't work a full-time 40-hour-a-week job. And I've been dreaming about being a steward of a community, a earth-based, sustainable, agricultural-based community.
Everybody's laughing.
For the last 10 years.
Sorry to interrupt, but we're two for two. Donna and Mary both want to do the same thing. Okay.
And my expertise, I come out of the corporate sector doing commercial printing, marketing, social media marketing, web development, programming. I don't do that for a living anymore, but I could do that stuff again if I needed to for the right situation. I'm an organic herb gardener. I've had a garden every year most of my life. I'm starting a clinical herbology program in September. I've got the massage therapy license. I'm a certified aromatherapist. And I've completely embraced and am now educating and refining my skills as a healer and an empath, working very diligently on being keenly aware of my intuition, and believe very strongly that I was led to this community and that I have a very specific purpose, and I couldn't possibly be any more excited about going to PermaJam than I am.
So, you see how important community, see, we don't just stop from one festival. We're all gypsies. We go from festival to festival.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
if anybody wants to reach me, I can be reached on Facebook. I also have a personal page, Mary Pierce, and my email address is mabpierce@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. Jenny Carrington, the stick is yours.
Thank you. Donna, Mary, thank you so much for sharing. Mary, I think we probably might want to connect. So my name is Jenny Carrington. Currently, I am a program manager at a community resource and wellness center, serving open to the community, but serving particularly people with severe mental illness. And we are doing a lot of holistic therapies there. I am also on the side an entertainer and performer and promoter. So I have been doing a lot of promotion and sort of spokes modeling and emceeing these different festivals and events. And I'm also working very closely with John Lee Rucker on a business plan for this real estate cooperative that we're discussing called We Are Mother Earth. And that business plan has been underway for about 9 months now. It involves very in-depth. It involves a website that enables us to have a live calendar of different annual and semi-annual and quarterly and monthly events. It is also what will function as a marketplace, sort of like an Amazon, but for specifically for regenerative and eco-friendly products and services. So that's in design phase, and we definitely are looking for programmers and web designers for that. But on the other hand, we're also working on the We Are Mother Earth Land Covenant, which will hopefully be, it's a document that essentially is sort of like the Ten Commandments, but for how to treat the earth. It's an earth rights covenant. It's the next
Yay.
Generation of human rights.
Yeah.
So we are working on the We Are Mother Earth Covenant, and John Lee has been really getting a lot of native wisdom and guidance around writing that, as well as sort of really brainstorming which are going to be our pilot communities across the United States and how we're going to build out and scale over time. So that's slow going, but we definitely need some key people in that conversation. And you can reach me anywhere on the internet by searching Jenny Meatballs, Meatballs Like the Food, J-E-N-N-Y, Meatballs Like the Food. I can give you a laundry list of all my websites.
Okay. Whoever has the crackling paper in the background, please stop. And Nikki has just joined the program, and I'll bring her on.
Okay.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good. I finally figured out how to listen in, which I've never done before. So it was a little confusing. Then I had to hang up and call. So it was, like I said, it's all new to me.
Oh, you were listening.
Oh, okay.
Nikki.
Yeah.
So this is Nikki.
And I'm pressing the buttons thinking it'll connect automatically.
Not a problem. Nikki, you had your first experience at Touch Mother Earth offering yoga this year, and now you're already willing to do our lighter version in August. What was your experience like?
It was really different because it was the first time I've been to a spiritual weekend retreat. Any kind of like small event I went to, it was just like the basic thing that you would get at like an Asbury Park Red Bank, you know, numerology, just like the really common, very common stuff. But at Touch Mother Earth, there was so much more and then some. It was like a lot. So I absorbed a lot there and learned a lot. And all the people, they were awesome. You didn't necessarily have to know somebody. You just looked at them and they just walk over and they hug you. You know, but I just really enjoyed the energy there. It was like, I was like buzzing for over a week when I left Mount Eden. It was pretty cool, but it was quite the experience, definitely.
Did you go through like a postpartum, like a disconnection afterwards? Because we're all talking about this, and we're like, now what?
I kind of did, but I'm also busy with all everything else I have going on with me. And plus, you can reach out to everyone on Facebook. So I didn't feel so disconnected.
Well, you do a lot of events. What do you do? Because, you know, you have a lot of friends on Facebook, and you clearly are a positive yoga teacher. What do you do?
Yoga teacher? Dave, this is Nikki, Soul Life Guider.
Oh, my God. It's Nikki Enola. All right.
Sorry.
I'm
like, yoga.
Sorry. Oh, you did finally
get it. You got the other Nikki.
Okay.
I know, Nikki over there in Point Pleasant, yes.
All right, so you were kind of thrown into the thrust to be a co-coordinator of the vendors, and then with that, all of a sudden, like, you know, you were offered the space, and you just saw all these things, so... All right, now give me more of your version. Sorry, Nikki.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
I didn't think
it was,
of you to know that.
Yeah, it was like it was chaos, definitely. I wasn't quite sure as far as, you know, leading people, the vendors in, but I just like when someone looked like they were confused more than me, then I'd go over there and help them and go find a spot and help them get set up and what they needed. You know, so intuitively, you just knew what to do. You know, and then I was thrown out there, you know, hey, do some vending. So I did that, did some angel card readings. It was quite interesting. The space that I got, I actually was at another location, but wasn't feeling that. And Marcy, she helped me find the space. And everybody, for some reason, they really liked the space of the energy there. But like I said before, it was definitely a very... positive experience for me coming from just the typical metaphysical store with what they teach and stuff, because there's like this, so there's a whole world out there that, with spirituality, and everyone's on their own path, and I got to see and learn a little bit of what everyone's about, and I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. What'd you walk away with?
I walked away with the knowledge of what did I walk away with? Well, for one,
thrown into it, but
I know. So I'm trying to think what did I walk away from, you know, with? Well, I mean, being the coordinator and doing the readings, this is the first time out there publicly at a retreat. You know, and the knowledge of everyone who I spoke with and the things that I saw, you know, and it just expands me even more with my growth, you know.
Now, you yourself are in training.
Yeah.
What are you offering to the public?
Well, right now I'm working on my bachelor's at the University of Metaphysics. The university is the oldest metaphysical university. It's been around since 1959. And my bachelor's right now, it is a metaphysical minister life coach. And then next year when I graduate, I will be going on to the master's and then divine doctor. But between now and then, I'm going to do life coaching.
So you have... come from one avenue toward this life coaching, and you also, can you explain the animal ministry?
Oh, the animal chaplain. Oh, that's something
yes.
Totally different. I'm still like been working on that, but that is helping animals. I love animals sometimes more than people. And it's about rescuing animals, helping them. It's a minister for animals rather than for people. Well, I'm doing that too. I mean, I can do ceremonies. I'm not quite sure if I can marry them. I have to find that one out. But it's basically really helping the need of animals because they don't have a voice. And I've been an animal lover since I was a child.
So you're an advocate in that respect. And that's one of the things that attracted me to bringing you into the festival. Now, when you first were asked to participate in the festival, did you have any idea what you were going into?
Oh, no, I had no idea. I just asked my higher self just to guide me. We'll get together through this as a team. And basically that's what I did. I just followed, I just went with the flow, you know, because I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I knew it was something positive, so that I knew.
What was your takeaway from the festival? What was one memorable event?
What was the one thing that stuck out on me?
Sure.
Yeah, experience. What happened? One thing that happened at the festival that was really awesome.
I really have to say, like, I don't have anything particular that really sticks out, but because I have such a busy schedule, I really appreciate being there at Mount Eden, and where I was staying at was further away from everyone. So I was able to meditate and ground myself and really appreciate the moment that I was in right there, you know, there at Mount Eden. But I would say just the whole experience really left me a big impression. There was nothing, like I said, anything particular, you know. But I liked the beginning ceremony, the opening ceremony, and then the closing ceremony. I thought it was quite interesting.
So how do people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you, Nikki?
I have a website, soullifeguider.com. And I'm also on Facebook as Soul Life Guider.
Awesome. So, Dave, any last comments that you'd like to make?
Please talk about
when your next event is coming up, and just say a few words.
Well, first of all, thank you, all you ladies, for coming and showing and supporting. That really has meant a lot to me. That shows community. It shows the feminine rising energy. I will support that as well. For those who want to know about the festival, we'll just say touchmother.com. We'll have all the event information up in a few days. But if you want to go right to Facebook, Touch Mother Earth at Hope Hill Farm, AT, not the at sign. And what we're trying to do is keep it real simple. For $100, you can come all 3 days, 4 meals, camping, and all the activities are included. And we're not making it complicated. We want more time for people to meet and talk. And that can't get more simple than that.
Awesome. So thank you all for being here tonight. My name is Alan Ritter. I'm the host of An Emerging Forest. My email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I run a small produce cooperative co-op club in the southern New Jersey, southeastern Pennsylvania area. We basically buy produce, which is a heck of a lot cheaper than Whole Foods, but it's either the same quality or better quality because the wholesaler goes through it, turns over their supply a lot faster, or we get discount seconds, and we basically offer access to people who would not otherwise be able to afford it. And that means everybody, because everybody can't afford to stuff their face with as much whole produce as they would really want to. So that That organization is called the Produce Club. It's at produceclub.us, or just email me and connect with me there. Thank you to my guests, Donna, Mary, Nikki, and Olga, who's dropped out, and Jenny, who has since dropped off the line. And, of course, two thumbs up for Dave for being a visionary and sort of bringing this all together and creating Touch Mother Earth. So thank you all for being here tonight. And have a great week. And let's, you know, anytime anybody you know or anytime you need to have a promotion, because this is going to be a YouTube video up sometime tomorrow, let me know and let's get together. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of
faith.
And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.